we're going to get started this morning. And as we start, Pastor Wayne Clevenger, would you have the ability to share what you just shared with me with our intercession? Pastor Wayne was just sharing with me what they have started doing with their community in Mattoon. And I'm going to let him tell us the details, but this is so good. And we need to rejoice and praise the Lord with him this morning.
We actually went out this weekend and we just knocked on doors. We had bags of food and we would share with people the gospel. We would tell them that we're there and doing a street reach, tell them who we are. And we would tell them we got a bag of food for them. Most people accepted it. And we would tell them that the Bible says we're to pray for the lost and the hurting. So who's lost or who's hurting? And everybody, at least in my group, we split up in teams. We had seven teams ranging from 3 to 5 people, and everybody would be accepting, at least in our group they were. And we would go in and we just share Jesus with them. And we had like at least 5 salvations that we know of. And the goal is to get into the house so that we can give them an opportunity to just share. And once you get in, they feel comfortable with you, and they open up and share what's happening in their life. And so we pray over them. And, man, it's just super powerful. It's called Reignite. And, man, it reignites you for sure, because you just see the Holy Spirit moving big ways. And then when while we're there, we tell them, you know, we're having a service later. If you want to show people an outward expression of this inward grace you've received, we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. And so we had about 8 baptisms later that night. And then one guy had this, he got saved, and he went with us. He wanted to join a team, so he went with us. And the Lord laid a family on his heart, so we went to their house special. And that whole family got saved. And so they all got baptized that night, and they were all in church the next day, and they're asking, you know, hey, can we get a small group together, and you could just teach us? And so we got all their information, and we're going to work with them and just take them through the gospel and, you know, how to get closer to Jesus. So it's super powerful weekend. And it was awesome to be a part of that.
This is outstanding. So I asked him the same thing. Wayne, Don on Zoom is asking how you got started. And Wayne just had this really great explanation that we go to seminars about evangelism and we talk about outreach, but a lot of times we don't do it. And he said this is the second time they've done this. They're doing it like every other month. And they're just jumping in there and they're just doing it. And obviously we are seeing fruit from this obedient endeavor right off the bat. And so it would be wrong and neglectful of us not to absolutely give God glory and praise, first of all, for Wayne and his people's radical obedience. This is gutsy. This is bold. This is what the church should be, giving away food, giving away the gospel, calling into salvation, calling into baptism, providing discipleship. This is the whole ball of wax. And so we have to praise the Lord for his faithfulness and this incredible fruit, and that this fruit would remain unto maturity. And so I am so blown away. He's so humble, Pastor Wayne Clevenger in Illinois, Mattoon, that I'm like, hey, Wayne, how are you this morning? And he just kind of slides this in with like very nonchalant details. And I'm like, I'm going to need some more information. And that just tells you his heart. He's so humble. He's not even broadcasting or advertising what they're doing. And that just makes me want to praise the Lord all the more for his humble obedience. And so, Lord, as we just start this morning, wow, Jesus, you are amazing and you are good. Look at what you're doing in Illinois. Look at how you're using your servant Wayne and his faithful people. Look at God, how they're going door to door, not just with food, but with food for the soul, the salvation of their heart, the message of the gospel. And Lord, it's being received because you've gone before them to soften the people, God. You've gone before them, and they have a spirit of receptivity. Lord, they're honoring each other. They're honoring these folks that they're meeting, and they're honoring you, and they're establishing relationships. So, Lord, we first and foremost give you glory and praise for this fruit. Thank you for each and every one that's chosen you. As heaven is rejoicing over their names being added to the book of life, we too rejoice, God. We give you highest praise. And Father, as they are coming to know you in right relationship, I pray that this would be fruit that remains unto maturity, that soon these would be just like this one gentleman who said, now I want to go and tell, now I want to join your team so I can give away the gospel. Freely you have received, freely give. And so, God, I'm so grateful for this testimony. I'm so excited for how you're changing people in Illinois. And what an example for the rest of us to jump out there. Father, thank you for this incredible, inspirational, motivating testimony of the faithfulness and obedience of a pastor in his church and the faithfulness of a very good God. And so we give you the highest praise for this testimony this morning. And Lord, we cannot tell you how much we love you. We cannot tell you how much we need you. God, I am glorying in what is happening in Mattoon. Father, I believe there's going to be a city changed by this movement. And Lord, I want that impartation. I want to see my city changed, God, like you're changing Mattoon. Father, I thank you that there's no city too far gone. There's no city too big. There's no community unreached where your arm is too short to save. So God, we give you highest praise, not only for what you've done in Mattoon with Pastor Wayne, but God, what the promise of what you will do for us in our cities. Wow, Jesus, we want this. I thank you for the precedents that you have set down. Lord, thank you. This is where we come out of the prayer closet. This is where we come out of the prayer room and we put feet to the gospel. We put feet and legs to our prayers. God, thank you for the mighty example. I'm just so excited. I'm so inspired by this, Lord. You're so good this morning, Jesus. And Lord, as we are pressing in today to pray, wow, you just ignited our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for leading us faithfully. We want you to continue to lead us this morning. We want you to have your way. We want you to be glorified in this call, in this Zoom. Lord, I pray first and foremost that everyone will be able to hear each other clearly, that we will be able to understand and receive all that you have for us by your word, by each other's prayer, by the Holy Spirit that we hear coming out of one another as we pray and share this morning. We want to be able to hear it all. We want to be able to receive it all. And so thank you for just anointing the internet and the phone lines right now. Thank you, Jesus, for this unity that you're bringing to these intercessors, to these believers. God, I love praying with these that you gather together on Monday morning. So thank you for their faithfulness. Now, Lord, we humbly ask this. We humbly ask, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit and that we would not speak in the flesh, sow to the flesh, pray a personal agenda, but we would be right in line with your Holy Spirit heart. Lord, we want to pray your desire, your plans, your purposes today. And so God, we give you the glory. We give you adoration and exaltation. We say that you're the one thing that we're focused on. We say that you deserve our attention and our affection. Everything we have is for you, Jesus. It's from you, so it's right back to you. Lord, lead on. As we endeavor to hear you, give us sensitive hearing and discernment that we would speak and pray out of what your Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Lord, we bless your name. And I pray this in your name, Jesus. If you guys just want to unmute and give him praise and glory, we'll just agree with you this morning.
Lord, I want to give you praise for the weekend. I want to give you praise, Lord, for the way you put Travis in our path to do this outreach stuff, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that the way that it all fell together and Travis came in and he showed us this whole thing, Lord, about outreach and this whole thing about street reach and how you anointed him. And how he was such a big part in showing our church, Lord, that it's not about a seminar that we go to and that we sit there and say, yeah, good seminar, that we got to put our feet to the street, Lord. And the Bible says go. And Lord, that we got out there and we got to do this and it ignited us. And Lord, we're going to keep doing it. And I know he's on this call, Lord. And I praise you for the energy he brings to us, Lord. I praise you for the anointing you put on him, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, that that can be infectious to all of us involved here and anywhere in this place, Lord, anywhere in this country, anywhere that it goes out and just shares the gospel. I praise you for that. I praise you for the victories it brings. I praise you, Lord, for those new souls, Lord, that have been found and they know you now, Lord, and they're hungry, Lord, and they're like sponges, Lord, and they just want more Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for obedience where we go out and do the work that you asked us to do when you got ready to ascend, Lord, and you said, go, make disciples. And, Lord, I just pray that catches on and more of us go out and just go do the work, Lord, because it's so good to see these people come and know you, Lord, and get this relationship with you, Lord, and just cast all their things on you, Lord, and just see them released and see them set free, Lord. And I just thank you for that. Help us to stay true to that, Lord, in all that we do. And we just give you praise and glory for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Well, this morning, we've been doing what we're going to hear from the Word. This morning, we're going to talk about how we worship as we intercede, how we intercede as we worship. And the two are not mutually exclusive. There is such a connection that it's really difficult to intercede and pray without worship. And it's really hard to worship without really being in a spirit of prayer and intercession. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what I call the right response. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump around the Gospels just a little bit in a couple different places. I'm going to read to you the story of Mary. We know the story of Mary. There's a couple different stories we're going to talk about and highlight, but I would challenge you today that the Lord would call us to have the response of Mary in our life. And as I share, before I share that, I just want to give a little testimony of something so very cool that has come to my attention. And when we pray and then we intercede, and then the Lord answers, it's wrong of us not to give him credit and praise. It's wrong of us not to give him testimony, especially when I know I pray in my intercession, Lord, I promise you, if you bring this thing about, I will give you praise and glory and I will testify to your goodness. And so a few years ago, I believe it was, Terry is across the room. He may have to help me with the date, but I believe this year was 2017. And at the beginning of 2017, Terry and I went and did a weekly discipleship. We endeavored at that time as we were traveling to try to be home in our hometown on Wednesdays for a particular discipleship. And then after the discipleship hour, we did prayer. We did a prayer room and a prayer meeting. And so this was really important to us to commit to doing this. And the program, we used a little prompt, a program, and it was written by, and you guys know how dear he is to me, Dr. Craig Wrench. It's called the Master's Plan. And we were doing discipleship meetings using the Master's Plan guide. And it encourages us to pick five people that we would intercede for every day for their salvation. The Holy Spirit should help us choose those five people. And so at the beginning of the year, and I think it was, again, I think it was 2017, we prayed and I picked five people to intercede for that I thought the Holy Spirit highlighted to me that they would come to know the Lord. These are five people I was sure did not have a relationship with Jesus. And I felt the Holy Spirit was prompting me to give 1 year of my life to intercession for these five people, along with my other intercession. And so I wrote out these names, and I'm still looking for the journal and the book that I wrote these names out, but I can't wait to find them. The third name on my list was my dad's little sister, my aunt. She's not that much older than me. believe it or not, her name is Kay, and she's actually been on this call throughout the year. She's tuned in and listened as we prayed together. And I thought, that's so cool that she's tuning in and listening. Now, I don't live in the same town as my aunt. I don't even live in the same state as my aunt. But for 1 year, I gave myself to prayer and intercession for these five people. And the third name on my list was my Aunt Kay. 2 weeks ago, my cousin Jay, this is on a totally different side of the family. In fact, my Aunt Kay doesn't even know my cousin Jay. My cousin Jay this year, this summer, started pastoring this home church of ours that I told you we did this discipleship and this prayer in. And when Jay and Judy started pastoring, lo and behold, down the street, my aunt lived, and she wandered into Jay and Judy's church. Not only did she wander into Jay and Judy's church, but she gave a testimony of salvation, is hungry for more, has been discipling in their Thursday night discipling groups. And Jay mentioned to me the other week that my Aunt Kay has been really seeking, hungry, and really desperate for more of the Lord in her life. And I said, what? Hold on. Pardon me? Excuse me? I didn't even know there was a testimony of Jesus in her life. And he said, well, yeah, Melissa, didn't you know? And I said, well, she had reached out to me and I had seen some signs of softening, but I hadn't been staying up on it because I only interceded for her for that 1 year and I haven't picked up that intercession since. And can I tell you that the Lord answered that prayer? And I told Jay, I said, Jay, this is a glorious testimony. So this morning I have to give praise to the Lord that he has saved my aunt. And she has a testimony of Jesus. And she is not only just like barely in the kingdom, she's hungry and desperate for more. She wants to be awakened to the greater good, the greater knowledge of the kingdom of God in every area of her life. If you know the story of my dad, if you know any of our history, my dad came to be saved at 60 years old, 6 weeks before a heart attack took his life, and he's now with Jesus. This is his only sister. And I believe since that time, by the way, consequently, it was 2017 that my dad passed away, the end of the year, and it was 2017, the beginning of the year, that I began interceding. I believe that it was that movement of my father from earth to heaven that was the catalyst for my aunt's great softening and receiving Jesus as her savior. So I give great glory to the Lord this morning as I have come to know that this thing has taken place. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm telling you prayer and intercession works. It doesn't have to be a striving on our part. And I want us to talk about this very specifically today as we talk about the right response to the prompting of the Lord in our life to pray, to intercede, and to worship. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, we begin to read a story starting in verse 1 of Mary. Now, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary, therefore, took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to pilfer what was put into it. Jesus therefore said, let her alone, in order that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Now I want to read this again from the Gospel of Matthew. And the reason I want to do that is because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, all four have this story in their gospel. The other three gospels add a little caveat to the end that I think it's important for us to know. They also, in these other gospels, don't necessarily recognize this woman as Mary. And so I would say to you, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know if they're referring to another story or if this is just their version of the same story. But here it is from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 6. And the word of the Lord says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head and as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and they said, 'Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For the poor you will always have, but you will not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of in memory of her.'" Now, the reason I wanted to read that from Matthew was because of that last paragraph. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in this whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of in memory of her. That is high praise from the Lord Jesus. This is high praise. I think it's very significant that Jesus noted, knowing he is the Word, and this would be written in his Word, that this memory of this woman and her act upon the Lord should be remembered. And the reason I believe Jesus has this in three of the four gospels, where all the stories are in the four gospels, I believe this memoriam that he is speaking unto this woman, who I believe is Mary. Why? Because they're in Bethany. It doesn't say that they're at the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. It says they're at the house of Simon the leper. So he's probably a neighbor. Bethany's not that big. It's probably a feast that's happening at the home of Simon the leper. And Lazarus and Mary and Martha, of course, would be there. They're so dear to Jesus. Martha is doing what she does best. She's serving, even though it's not her home. The women are serving. Mary's not serving. Now, haven't we heard this before of Miss Mary? Miss Mary tends to neglect her duties of serving when Jesus is on the scene. You see, when Jesus is on the scene, nothing else matters to Mary. And I think that's the posture of a worshiper that Jesus is looking for. And I think that's why he said everywhere in the world, this story of this woman will be preached, because of how important the posture of a worshiper is. And Mary exemplified this posture. Now, here's the interesting thing. This message isn't always preached. This message isn't always remembered well. And I think it needs to be, because I think she exemplifies something that we all need to endeavor to do. And that is to posture ourselves as a worshiper, giving everything we have unto our Savior, neglecting things we think are important, like ministry serving or work or other things, cleaning, come on, whatever it is that we think is more important than spending time with Jesus, I promise you it's not. That spending time with him is the priority. And that is why he is memorializing Mary's act so highly. The interesting thing about this is Mary is praised highly for a right response to his presence. There's no question he asks. There's nothing he asks of anyone to do. It's his presence that elicits this response from Mary. Interestingly enough, she's praised more than once. And that takes place in another story. And that's the story in Luke 10, 38 through 42. And we know this story. And that's when he came to the home of Mary and Martha, right? and Martha's busy serving. I won't read the story. You know the story. And she's distracted, the word says, with preparations. And she asked the Lord, hey, don't you care that Mary isn't helping me? And this is what Jesus says. But the Lord answered Martha and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, these are two separate episodes in the history of Jesus' three-year ministry on this earth that he is giving high praise and memoriam to Mary because of her posture and because of her act of worship. This is an act of sacrifice. It's an act of sacrifice because when she opened that vial, that alabaster box of nard, it was worth a lifetime of wages. And she wasted it upon him. And it's a glorious sacrifice that the Lord sees. She's giving all she has. And secondly, this is a sacrifice for Mary because she's receiving criticism for this act. Not simply from her sister. Come on, she's receiving criticism from the disciples, not just Judas. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says that she received criticism from all of the disciples. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that she received criticism from also the Pharisees. What does that say to us? It says to us that Mary's posture of worship and sacrifice for the very presence of the Lord in her nearness was not popular amongst anybody. This is so important. We need to have this posture. This example is so important to us. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have listed it in all four Gospels. Jesus wouldn't have given our highest praise for it. And the reason we need to do this isn't because it's going to be popular, because it isn't. The truth is, giving everything we have unto him is going to cause people to be uncomfortable and criticize us. Just like Mary was criticized by her own family, her own sister, by her friends, the disciples. Let us remember this dynamic of the family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They were not just dear friends with Jesus the Christ, but they were dear friends of his disciples, and they criticized her act still. You know, that they ought to know better. You know how many times I say that when I look around at people in the church and they've been serving or they've been pastoring or they've been praying and they do something that's out of character with the kingdom of God. And I think, what are they doing? They ought to know better. Listen, even in this story, the disciples ought to have known better than to criticize her act, but they didn't. That's because not always are we clear and free on some of this stuff. Sometimes our minds are clouded with a little bit of deception. Sometimes we don't see things as clearly as we ought to. And then, of course, she was criticized by the Pharisees, by the rulers, by the authorities. She was criticized. Have you ever been criticized if you're going through like some financial class and people are like, you give how much in tithe? Why would you do that? You shouldn't do that. See, they're critical of your sacrifice unto the Lord. They're critical of your obedience unto the Lord, even when they ought to know better. But Jesus said this example is so important that we remember it and preach it. Jesus praised Mary when everyone else was against her. And God recorded this not only in all four Gospels, but two separate stories are told of Mary's posture of worship in obedience. Worship, let's look at this posture specifically. She is an example for us. All of us should be following this example of Mary that Jesus spoke so highly of. I want him to praise me the way he praised Mary. Come on, I want him to be pleased with me the way he's pleased with Mary. And so we need to look at her posture quickly. I don't want to take too much time because I want us to pray into this. But her posture of worship is a posture of gratitude. We understand that the Lord is looking, he says in his word, for worshipers in spirit by his Holy Spirit and truth by his word, the truth of his word. We ought to be in this posture, a grateful people for a very good God. And in this posture, not only was Mary grateful, but she was at rest. She was at rest in such a way that she was able to receive. So I call her posture a posture of worship in gratefulness and rest to receive. What does that mean? It means she implicitly trusted Jesus. She trusted him so much, she didn't care what happened after he left. She trusted him so much, she didn't care what kind of criticism she received. Listen, she trusted him so much in rest, just to receive his words, just to be in his presence, that she gave her life savings, wasted it upon him. Do we understand that she could not have cared less about anything but Jesus? And this is the kind of posture he is asking us to exemplify, a posture of trust. You know, he speaks of this in the Old Testament part of his word in a very simple verse that we all know in Psalm 46 and 10, where he says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Why is that important? He's saying, hey, quit trying to muster something up. Quit trying to work something up. Quit trying to do all the things and sit in rest. That's what that means. Cease striving. Don't work anything up. Just rest. Just receive. Just trust me. And that verse goes on to say this: cease striving and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. If we'll rest at his feet and worship him, he's going to be exalted. He's going to be lifted high. He will be exalted. He will be praised. He will be lifted high. I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be silent so that the rocks in creation cry out. I want to be the one lifting him high, exalting him and praising him in the nations. And when I cease striving and rest at his feet in a posture of worship like Mary, that's exactly what we're doing. We're exalting him high. We're giving him praise. And you say to me, wow, this is so good, but what in the world does it have to do with prayer? I am so glad you asked. It has to do with prayer because not only is he to be exalted and worshiped in the songs that we sing, but the very life that we lead should have a posture and attitude and behavior rooted in worship, in rest to receive, in gratefulness, so that we say we trust you with our life, and we simply must be a people who pray and intercede from this posture. We underestimate grossly, in my opinion, we underestimate how important this posture of worship and rest is. We must pray and intercede from this position. This is our authority. This position is our weapon against the enemy. When the enemy throws up distractions and contradictions, our very posture of worship in rest to receive is our greatest offense and weapon against anything the enemy throws at us. When he cannot shake us out of trust, when he cannot shake us out of worship, when he cannot shake us out of rest to receive, he's defeated. This is the posture that we pray and intercede with, and this is how we see the Lord move. And never has that been more clear to me than when I gave a year of my life to intercession and no more. I didn't strive in it. I didn't work anything up. I was simply being obedient to what the Lord prompted me to do without any fanfare. So little fanfare, by the way, was given to this intercession that I never even talked about it. But when I see one of those that I interceded for, by the way, if I go back and look at the list, I think I'm going to see two or three from that list that have come to be saved since that time. I have almost forgotten this entire year of intercession. That's how little I strived in it. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm simply saying this did not take work. This did not take striving. This was restful intercession, trusting him. And I can promise you that I did very little and he did it all. And if we were to take this posture, now listen, I want to throw this in here as a side note. There are moments, and Dan talked about this last week, and if you didn't hear his message on the travail, you ought to go and listen to it. There are moments, there are weeks, maybe even months, that we must enter a time of travail and literally wear ourselves out in prayer and intercession, not letting go, because it's the Spirit of the living God that falls on us for that travail. Those times happen. They're not very common. They're few and far between. It is not our leading. It is the burden of the Lord that comes upon us for the travail. Those moments are not what we're talking about here. They exist and they're important and we must do it. But these are daily moments where we meet with the Lord in prayer and intercession, where we have got to stop trying to work something up, where we have got to stop trying and we cease striving and trust him and rest in order to receive what he's saying. And then all of a sudden we blink our eyes, and one day, a couple years later, we hear testimony that the Lord has answered the exact intercession we prayed. That is our God. That is the posture of worship. That is the posture of rest, that if we take an intercession, we are going to see him move in. And in this, we have no temptation to take credit for ourselves. I have zero temptation to take any credit for this, because this is all him. This was his idea. This was his hand moving. This was his hand and heart changing her heart and her mind. And I'm like, I can't believe you did that. I almost didn't catch it. And now I'm like, glory, glory, glory. People are coming to know you because we simply stayed in the right posture. And because you're faithful, there's no temptation for us to take credit for that. I can honestly tell you, I don't even have a good enough relationship with my aunt that I was testifying to her. I wasn't preaching or testifying or talking or exampling or leading her to Christ. This was all him. There's zero temptation for us to take any credit in the flesh for what he does in the supernatural when we have a posture of worship and rest to just trust him. What if every prayer we prayed, we took this posture and we just knew he's going to answer? We just knew he's going to answer. And then we just give him praise and glory when he does. Is there just any way we could just spend the last 10 minutes or 12 minutes praying into this posture of Mary? I think it's so important, you guys. I just can't tell you. I think this posture is so much more important than we realize and give it credit for. And I'll just say this last thing as I pray. This is who we were created to be. We were created to be worshipers. This is our first characteristic of who we are. As new creations in Christ, we are worshipers. It is who he made us to be. We are sons and daughters who are worshipers. And I don't mean that as we sing well. That's just a portion of worship. I mean how we live our lives unto the Lord is our worship. How we pray, how we evangelize, how we obey. This posture of worship, rest, to receive this confirmation of trusting him in everything. It's who we were really created to be. And you know, when Travis and Pastor Wayne are giving testimony and they're so excited, it's because I promise you, they're living in their gift, their calling, their identity as worshipers in rest. They're not working anything up. They're simply doing what the Lord has called them to do. That is worship. They are exemplifying Mary, as Mary exemplified the posture of worship we are to take. And so, Lord, as we just pray into this now, I thank you for this word. God, I want to praise you and thank you for what you've done in my Aunt Kay. I praise you again for the souls that have come to know you in Mattoon, Illinois this weekend because of this posture of worship. God, I want to thank you for the prayers that we're praying now that have not seen answers yet. I thank you and praise you in advance. As a worshiper, knowing God that I'm not striving, I am resting in this, and you're going to bring about the answer because you're faithful. You're just faithful, God. We've seen it time and time again. You've never failed and you never will. And so God, as we praise you for this awesome call, to this posture, I thank you for the example of Mary. I thank you that she didn't care that she was receiving criticism. Go, Mary. I can't wait to meet her. I'm so like inspired by her. She didn't care what anybody thought. Jesus, she was going to waste her whole life on you. Her whole life. We don't know what it cost for her to break open that alabaster box all over you. We don't know. It may have been hard work. It may have been her inheritance. It may have been, we don't know what it was that she wasted on you. But anything that I have, I want to waste it on you. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, Jesus, of all that we have. And so, God, we give you the highest praise today. Will you help us pray into this, receive this word, and then live it out, make it manifest in our life. We want to be a people at rest as we pray and intercede, and as we live a testimony that we trust you, God. In all things, we trust you. When the storms blow, we trust you. When the foundation sways a little bit because we got a bad diagnosis, we trust you. When people we love do stupid things, we trust you. When we do stupid things, we trust you. Because God, you're worth wasting and sacrificing everything for. Help us pray by your Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for this word this morning. And God, the thing that just comes to mind is seeing Mary at your feet, Lord. She wasn't worried about the serving. She wasn't worried about the work, dear Jesus. But while you were in her presence, God, she was at your feet, soaking up everything that you were saying to her and just being in your presence. And Lord, I pray that God, that when I'm in that time with you, that I won't be distracted, God, that I won't be worrying about the next thing, Jesus, but that I will take that moment and that time that you are with me, dear Jesus, in a special way, God, and just soak up everything that you are saying to me, and to trust you, God, to cease from striving, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that I would trust you, God, with what the work that you are doing, and not try to work it up myself, but Jesus, to just sit at your feet and learn from you and just soak in your presence. I pray that you would be the stronghold in my life, God, that every other stronghold would be pulled down, and that you would be the stronghold in my life. I thank you, Father God, for this word today. I thank you, Lord, for igniting a hunger in my heart, dear Jesus, for you and for your word. And God, just let it spread in my town, dear God. Jesus, I thank you for what was shared with us this morning, what you're doing in Illinois, God. Wow, Jesus, wow. Thank you, God. And Lord, you have given me a name to pray over this week. Lord, and I pray for that person's surrender to you, Father God, that every lie, every shame, everything would be broken in her life, dear Jesus, yes. And that her life would ignite again for you, Jesus.
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We agree, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus, I just thank you. I radically thank you, God, for your faithfulness this morning. Wow. And I just bless the Lord this morning. And Jesus, I thank you, God, for working, for calling, for giving us your word and an example to follow in your word, God. I'm agreeing with Dawn right now for the services that are taking place in Yorktown, Indiana, where her brothers and dad will be ministering, God. I'm agreeing for healing, miracles, salvation, sanctifying works. I'm agreeing for deliverance and everything that comes when your kingdom moves in these services in Yorktown. And Father, I'm agreeing for all of these things in our life, not only for us, but for us to release to others around us. May we not miss one opportunity that you place before us in these days, God, to be faithful, to give away all that you have given us. And Lord, we bless your name. We thank you in advance for radical answers to prayer. We thank you. You're going to give us courage and boldness to be radically obedient. And God, I thank you that you put a fire within us that you're stoking and blowing on by your Holy Spirit to keep kindled, fresh and hot, that it would burn within us, that we would just keep chasing after you. We thank you, Father, for teaching us how to pray, how to intercede, and how to live in worship. We love you today, Jesus, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.